You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Kick off the show here.
We're in green!
So cleaned up.
Welcome into the Mafia Cast. Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Papa Ron, with my boys, Mike and Casey. What is up, guys?
What's up, Ron? Case? How are you guys?
Papa Ron, welcome back. It's been a long time since the three of us have had a show together.
I know. We missed you, man. It's
like 3 weeks.
Right?
Is it really?
I almost forgot I had to do a show tonight.
That's rude.
Hey, I've been busy learning some new stuff and things.
Yeah,
the studio was made and everything was ready.
Yeah. This time of year is always hard. Just all the holidays and everything going on. Everybody's being pulled in every direction.
Yeah, it gets pretty crazy. Speaking of crazy, we got a crazy game tonight too. The Patriots and Steelers. From what I hear, the under on this game or the over under is like 30, 30 and a half.
30 and a half. And I don't know what to do.
I've heard that's the lowest over under on a game since like 1990 something.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And deservedly okay, so after both teams combined for, I don't know. Like the over under for like passing touchdowns for each quarterback is a half a touchdown. Like the over under is 30 and a half. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean,
they could each score. Me
and Mike were talking about it before Ronnie got on the show that like, all it takes is one fluke play is like a kick return for a touchdown, a pick six, you know, anything like that. And all of a sudden everything just gets blown out, like blown out. Like I don't know what to do. So if anybody has any advice out there as to what bets we should make tonight, come on, let's ride together. Let's make some bets. Throw the comments in.
Let's hear. So the Buffalo Rumblings team, content creators, we have a group where we pick the winners, the over-unders, the spread and all that. I caught a little bit of slack because I wasn't doing the spread or the over-under for a while. Now I am. I took the under on this one, though. I mean, 6-0 last week with the Chargers and Patriots. And you got a worse offense in Pittsburgh than you do with Chargers. So, and the Patriots, they may be one of the worst offenses in football. And that almost pains me to say that because we lost to them.
Yeah. Exactly. And we didn't even lose to, I guess, like the better quarterback at this time. Bailey Zappi, you know, we lost to the bag of milk, you know, the guy that we've used as a punching bag the last 3 years, you know, like it's that one still stings a lot. That's going to be the one that all of us in this offseason are going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. You know, Zach Wilson first game of the year thing, like it's one of those, like it was first game of the year, you know, it was, you could kind of feel the game that we weren't going to win it. That Patriots game was just such an absolute letdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. But if we make the playoffs, nobody's going to care.
Yep. I don't know. You know Bills Mafia is touchy. People are still going to say, well, if we won that game, we would have won the division, so we would have been able to play at home. We probably would have won.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But it's kind of like you're talking about I wrote an article a couple of days ago, and I don't even think I was talking about now. It's been a crazy week. But basically win is a win, right? And we were all saying that after the Giants game. Hey, we won the game. Who cares how? And so if you take that and apply that to today, nobody's talking about the Giants game. Nobody's talking about how we won the game. They don't care. So to me, as long as we just get in the playoffs, man, just get in there. Because once you're in there, anything can happen. And the whole 17 weeks, 18 weeks, whatever, would be behind us. We can just focus on basically a new season. But before we move forward with the Bills stuff, Mike, are you taking the over-under on tonight's game?
I was just looking at my picks here on my phone. I did take the under on it. So, yeah.
I believe I am the only one that took the over. Because it's so hard, man. I mean, for two teams, yeah. I understand the quarterbacks are, you know, as bad as they are. But like that Steelers offense, I mean, even with Mitchell Trubisky with Kenny Pickett, at some points they were still able to put up, you know, 30 points in the game. Mitchell Trubisky isn't much worse than Kenny Pickett. Let's be honest here. You know, so like, in my opinion, if Pickett can do it, then I mean, Trubisky can do it.
And I don't maybe know if it is worse.
Well, that's okay. Further proves my point.
Maybe but, on I mean, equal terms.
Bailey Zappi is the part that like worries me the most.
Sorry. Yeah. No, you're good. Throw it back up there. Let's go ahead and do this.
Throw it up there. I forgot to load them up.
Yeah. So
I
just, I guess good. It throws Look, it up when I do it live. We're still in second place. Okay. Before we get into this game this weekend, I don't want to rehash last game either. I missed out on that opportunity, so I'm moving forward. But I was looking at the playoff race this morning or last night, and I wish maybe I hope I can get the teams right. So if Denver loses, no, not Denver, Indianapolis, yeah, thank you, Houston, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh, all four of those teams lose. That means Cincinnati wins because I believe they're playing Indianapolis. And if Buffalo wins, then you have six teams sitting at 7-6 battling for three wildcard spots. That's crazy. Well, six teams could be potentially sitting at 7-6 after this weekend.
And how many tiebreakers would we lose?
That I didn't look that deeply into. But Cincinnati only has, I believe, two conference wins. Houston, I think, had three. Denver, I believe, had three. Cleveland, I think, had the most at five. And I believe Indy was at four. And we're at three, so we're not that far behind, honestly. Like, everybody keeps talking about we don't have the tiebreakers. Our conference record sucks, but so do theirs. Like, all the bottom teams right here, from Pittsburgh down to Buffalo, their conference records are questionable. So if we can four out of five, that's what I'm banking on. Four out of the next five, get those. Mm-hmm. The one loss you can have is Dallas. You have to win the conference games, though. They do that, I think they make it.
Don't say that. That's the one game that me and Mike are going to this year. Don't you put that bad juju on us, Papa Ron.
I mean, I hope that they win. And we keep saying this about Miami. They haven't beat anybody with a winning record. Well, Dallas is in the same boat. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I think they haven't beat anybody with a winning record this season. But are they beatable? Yeah. I mean, anybody in the league is beatable. Do I think the Bills can run the table and go 5-0 over the next 5 weeks? I do. Mm-hmm. Do I think they can lose three or four of those? Yeah, I do. So they have set a precedence, though, over the last couple of years of finishing strong. In 2020, I think they won, what, six straight, seven straight, and counting the playoffs?
I think that year that we finished strong. If we like made it all the way through the Super Bowl, it would have been like 14 straight games and like nine or 10 straight wins.
Yeah.
I know
that's the year that we were 7-6.
Yep.
And everybody was saying the same things that they are now. Fire everybody.
I don't know.
7-6. And they finished with a four game win streak to close out the year at 11-6.
Were we all burning it down the way we were now? Because I don't remember it being. I don't remember it being.
The three of us, maybe not.
True. But I mean, I was on Twitter back then too, and I don't remember hearing like it burn it down. It was more so like, I think we were, you know, we had the one really good year before that, and we were like, all right, you know, maybe it was just a flash in the pan type thing. We saw how good Josh really was, but, you know, was the entire team that good? And then all of a sudden, yeah, everything hit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think part of, well, at that time, the calls for firing were for Daboll. Nobody was, you know,
that's true,
headhunting for McDermott. And I just want to say this as far as the McDermott situation. I don't know. I've written about this. There's pros and cons. Either way, you fire him or you don't. But what really kind of is like driving me nuts is like the personal attacks and the plays on his name, like McDummy and McDork and all this and some other things that I won't say on air. Yeah, sure, they're humorous, but come on, people.
Why haven't I seen McDummy? That is, I'm sorry.
You haven't seen it?
I'm in the same boat as you, but that is hilarious.
I don't know. But
for those who don't know, that's one of Casey's favorite words. He loves calling people dummy. So
I know. I know.
Clicks with him.
My dad and I have a thing. We call each other dummy.
Well, so when you say that to one of us, I take that to heart. It means something special.
Dummy is like mafia. It means family.
There you go. Jim Graham brings up a good point. We had a soft schedule then. I don't honestly remember what the last four games was from that 2020 season. But I do remember the schedule not being quite as tough overall as this year it has been. But I don't know what to expect. Like I said, I don't know as far as with McDermott, that whole situation. I think the situation with some of the off-the-field stuff is just making things worse. I was thinking about this today, and I'll get you guys' take on this. I almost kind of wish the season was just done and let's move on to next season.
Yeah, I was ready to – I don't know. I was ready to write it off, you know, after the Eagles loss.
Well, hold on. Mike called this perfectly.
Because I have this – because I'm writing it off as the off season. I said that a couple weeks ago. You see, we have the 13 wins in 2020 and 2022. It's just our off year. So I was happy with that.
But let's give credit where it's due real quick. Mike, you called this. You said weeks ago that you would be comfortable as hell coming out of the bye at 6-6. You mm-hmm. said that you would be fine with us lose. I think it was four out of the five, which we did, or three out of four, whatever it was. And you'd still be comfortable in like where the season, on the trajectory. Are you still like that same comfortable?
Well,
now that Ron, actually happened.
Well, like Ron, I do think they could run the table. What makes me comfortable with being at 6-6, and it was probably a month ago. We talked about it. What makes me comfortable with the 6-6 is that we sort of have the tendency to beat the team in the second matchup, you know, like our divisional games. You know, you lose the first one, you win the second one. That's what keeps me going. The only way we'd face the Eagles again, of course, is getting to the big one. So that's what keeps me going. But I am still hopeful.
Based on last
but not
week,
all
the Eagles
lost.
Are making the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah, they might not.
Yeah, it has been an interesting year. I'm going to jump back up really quick to I don't know what Spin is doing. 250K. Oh, I'm hoping darn. That means if you win, you're going to win 250K, but if you lose, it's minimal. That's what I'm hoping for. But if you've got 250K to place on a game, then
That super chat better be hitting Spin if you hit that 250K. Yeah. That's all I got to say, buddy.
I'll run on the field, man. I'm going to tackle someone.
Yeah, that's wild. I think the most I've ever put on a game is maybe $10. Maybe 20, and that was a handshake between me and a buddy. I'm not really that much of a gambler.
$5 to $10 parlay. You know, I'll usually do like two of those, and then I'll do one either $10 or $20 parlay, like, because I'll make it. I mean, the cheapest one's going to be the most unrealistic, you know, the $5 bet $5 for $1,300, which would have hit if Stephon Diggs just caught five more yards, but that's neither here nor there. But that that $10 to $20 bet, that's one where you have four. It's a four pick parlay, and you pray for the best. You hope that those hit.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done a few of those, as you know, but I haven't won any of them. So, what? Yeah, I'm no good at it.
But I've had my hands full of Laura just the says, football this year. So,
yeah. Laura says the Pats win will help us. That is true. Can't say I'm actually rooting for them, though. That's one of those tough ones. But we have to. We have to get Pittsburgh down to that 7-6 range and get them within striking distance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Browns have a super easy schedule. They should win games without a quarterback. I haven't looked at the Cleveland Browns schedule going forward, so I'm not sure what that looks like, but yeah, maybe.
Spence, you're killing me, bro. You're killing me.
Why?
My birthday is next week, Spence. I'm not spending my 28th birthday with pink hair.
It would be a very special time. Let me
get through the holidays first, buddy. Let me take all them pretty pictures that need to be posted on Facebook with the family. Then I will do the pink hair.
I got your back, man. It's happening. If I got to get in there and hold it down and get a couple more people.
I'm a man of my word. I promise that I will make it happen.
I just want to throw out there too. He's talking like frosted tips and then dyeing a pink. No, we're trying to like bleach his hair completely white.
Go.
Like a troll's hair.
These locks don't get bleached.
We'll see.
That's awesome. You got to sleep. Laura, sometime. Thank you for joining us and listening today, tonight, and everybody else that's in the listening right now. We appreciate you. Browns remaining schedule: Pats, Jets, Panthers. Who they got tonight? Or not tonight, but this weekend. I can't remember.
Browns are playing the Jaguars.
I want to say the Jaguars.
Okay. Well, that's one they could definitely lose. I don't know. This whole season, that was the other thing, too, that I found. Right. Looking at the teams that are ahead of us in the playoff standings right now, five of them are playing with backup quarterbacks. So we don't know for sure about Jacksonville. He hasn't been officially ruled out of this weekend, but with the way the injury looked and the high ankle sprain, I don't know. I don't think I'd roll him out there, maybe give him a week at least.
Not in the position they're in. You know, they can sacrifice. They can sacrifice one loss. You know, they have – well, do they? No, because they lost to the Bengals, so they're only one game ahead of Houston. So they can't even sacrifice one loss.
They do play Houston in 2 weeks.
And they're back. So you know what you do is you sit – Lawrence this week. You do not play him. And you don't play him if you play Houston next week. Because that's a much bigger matchup. That is straight up for the division.
Apparently Spence wants you to paint your face, your entire head. Hair pink, face pink, beard the whole night.
This beard ain't getting touched. I will throw it down before this beard gets touched. I've had this thing since I was 15.
We'll get you passed out on the mafia sauce again, and then
it took me 47 years to get this.
Yeah, but mine's almost is starting to get as gray as yours. That's the bigger issue.
yeah, I'm half tempted just to go just do the full gray and get it over with.
Do you still dye your beard or?
No. Stop. No, this is just like if you see me up close, it's multicolored. There's a little bit of gray here. I got some red tinge in there. There's some brown as well.
Me too.
Yeah. It's the only way to go. All right. Let's talk about this game this weekend coming up with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm just going to throw the ball into your court there, Mike, and let you roll with this and kind of take the lead. What do you think? What's going to happen on Sunday between the Bills and Chiefs?
What's going to happen?
Yeah, let's hear it. Oh,
boy.
Whatever you say happens is going to happen.
Yeah, that's okay. I know what I want to happen. Now you're making me want to get right into the keys of the game and the score predictions and all that, but we'll save that for later. So I was, you know, after the bye week, we ain't got much to talk about except for this matchup. So I kind of dove into, the Chiefs games the whole season and kind of looked at a few stats here and there and comparing their losses to their wins. And so there are two, what are they? They have two losses at home, two losses away, you know, so home field, I'm not really too worried about yardage. I mean, obviously we gotta hold them back a little bit. The whole Kelce thing, taking Kelce out of the game. I do think that helps, but I don't think that's like as cut and dry as people make it seem. So I don't think we could just focus on Kelce and that's it. But what really stood out to me is that, like, I don't think any team has had over 300 passing yards against them, this year. So that might be one of the key things I'm looking for, is that we're going to get over that mark of 300 passing yards. We have to.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs defense is legit. I called them basically they are a championship caliber defense. An offense isn't what it once was, but one of the guys from Cover One, I think, put out a tweet earlier with the DVOA and all those in-depth metrics and how the Chiefs' offense is actually pretty good. But again, what matters is the points, and they're not putting up the points like they used to. So all that other stuff, I don't care. Even with Buffalo, we've been talking about this all season with the Bills. They're top five in this, top five in that. Like, they're top five across the board almost in everything, it seems like. Mm. Yet on the field, it doesn't look like that's what's happening. No. And they're struggling in these games. But, I don't know.
I want to throw out there, too, and it's not 300 passing yards. I don't think anyone's had 260 passing yards against them this year.
Wow. I'll take that over for Josh.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's the line, but
no,
no one's had that yet.
For Josh, the over-under is somewhere around 256.
Yeah.
Passing yards against the Chiefs.
I think Minnesota had 259.
And was that back, but... So that would be still without Kirk Cousins.
Mm. For what week was that?
Yeah,
three, four, five, week five.
Oh, so that was with
Kirk Cousins. Yeah, but I think it was.
I think Allen can probably shred this defense or secondary if the offensive line can hold up. That's my only, I guess, kind of concern, because I believe they're fourth in sacks this year. They're top five for sure. So Chris Jones and that group can get after him. So I think, to me, that's kind of almost like a key to the game. If they can protect Allen, I think he can do what he needs to do against their defense. But I don't know what to expect. It's hard to talk about this team right now.
It is.
Because it's like, it's just a Jekyll and Hyde situation. And it's even happening in the games, especially with the defense. My goodness, this defense looks like phenomenal in the first half of these games. And then they just come out. They fail to show up in the second half. I don't know if they're going next door to the high school and swapping jerseys and having the high school kids come out there or what, but they can't stop anybody in the second half.
We got to get off the field on third.
Yeah. Casey, is that on McDermott, or is this defense just what's happening in that second half?
I mean, So, I mean, it's on McDermott. I mean, he's the head coach and the defensive coordinator. So, obviously, you know, it's got to start with him, just like all the other issues. You know, it starts with the head coach, which is why he's the first one gone every single time. But, I mean, Poyer and Hyde, I mean, I still love those guys. I think they can still play at a high level. They are another year older. You know, that's another year of hits. Hyde is still coming off the injury. He's missed another game this year with another neck injury. So is it one of those things to where Hyde is kind of a little how we kind of thought DeMar would be and kind of in his own head a little bit, not playing as hard, as physical, kind of making what we call like business decisions. Maybe that's it. I think it's more so just the age kind of starting to show itself a little bit. Rasul Douglas still kind of newer, you know, getting adjusted to the system. I know he's had that great game against the Jets, but I mean, it's still only been what, 3-4. He's been here a month, not even a full month. So it's, I don't really necessarily, you can't put your finger on one thing, kind of like all the issues this entire year for the whole team. There's not one thing. If it's not this, it's that. If it's not that, it's this. I mean, and I hate to say it, you know, Von Miller hasn't showed up on the field at all this year. I mean, AJ Epenesa's done pretty well. Shaq Lawson, you know, he's come up big in some spots. Jordan Phillips, everybody has played well. But at the same time, when you look at the picture as a whole, it's just not happening on the field. You know, it's just not all clicking and coming together.
Yeah, and we're always one play away, one mistake here or there. It's just It's just really
With the Eagles game, we'll jump back a little bit only because watching that game, and I know everybody has been like bashing on McDermott since that game, well, even before that, but it really seems like it's intensified since then. But if you look at that game, there were multiple, and I don't like to blame refs or whatever, but there were times throughout that game and in the second half where they did get stops, but then something happened, a penalty or whatever. The reception, we'll quote unquote that, from AJ Brown, I think in overtime, that was a catch and that was a fumble. And it drove me nuts because the very next, the following weekend, I was watching, I want to say it was Michigan and Iowa State. The championship game, almost the exact same scenario. He caught it, tucked it, couple steps, fumble, and they called it a catch and fumble. And Michigan recovered, I think it was. And it's just that's the part of this game, the NFL as a whole, that's driving me crazy, is there's absolutely no consistency. And it's costing games. It's changing outcomes of games. Buffalo had that game won right there.
I know.
And you know, and then the refs make a different decision.
But there's the old adage, you can't let it come down to one play. Which,
but it's the Eagles. I get that, but it's the Eagles. It's going to be a close game.
But it shouldn't be. I mean, we were up 17-7 and Jalen Hurts had 37 passing yards in the first half. We should have blew the doors off them. And all of a sudden, the Eagles score on every single drive in the second half. You know, but the offense, I mean, we put up 14 points in the second half and overtime. Like that also doesn't get it done against the Eagles. You have to expect them to come back.
We couldn't stop them
either. We also got stopped in the second half.
So, if you guys want to get back over to the KC game, another thing that really stood out to me in their four losses this year was time of possession. And three out of those four losses, they had the ball less than half the time, it seems like, or pretty close to it, right around the 30, 29-minute mark. There was one game where they did have the ball more and still lost the last one. But that's the other thing. So I'm mentioning the passing yards and wanting to get, you know, over 300 passing yards, or 260 at least, you know, but 300 is kind of where I'd be aiming for. But you still want to use the ground game. I mean, I got to look at it now. Someone put up, I don't know, like, Denver, they had 153 rushing yards against them. So that's another thing. I mean, I know Tony Miller commented earlier, when does Fournette get mm-hmm. going? I mean, is it the game, you know, where we do running back by committee and hold the ball, keep that time of possession, you know, and just control and play situational football?
But that's just, that's not what the Bills do, though. I mean, that takes the ball out of, you know, quite possibly the best player in the world's hands.
Yeah.
And none of us want that. We want Josh, you know, we want that ball to be in Josh's hands every single time, which sucks because, like you said, I mean, that's how you beat the Chiefs is time of possession. You just have to keep the ball. Passing the – I mean, if you can chew the clock passing the ball, but, like, it's – God, it's such a hard, like, decision to make.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about short passes, which is cool, which is fine with me.
Well, Spin's got a good point. I like what Spin is saying here, though. Why would we play? Why would we control the clock? Casey has no, can't beat us in a shootout. And I would say that honestly about every single team in the league. If your defense is obviously struggling for whatever reason, do not stop what you're doing from the first kickoff to the closing whistle. Like, keep the foot. I don't care if you're up 40-7. Keep. You know what? The ball. Like, do not stop. Score. Put the lead on notice. You know, that's one of the things that I know this isn't Madden, but people that play Madden, they don't stop. And I feel like the Bills and their coaching staff should kind of adopt that. Don't stop. Just keep the gas floored regardless. And this kind of goes to the point where a lot of people were talking about that whole 20 seconds and this one timeout situation. I can understand from one aspect where McDermott might be hesitant to go for it because Allen does lead the league in turnovers since 2018. We know that. But he also leads the league in touchdowns. But if you adopt that philosophy from start to finish, and I'm sorry, nobody can keep up. There's just not an offense in the league that I feel like can keep up with Bills currently with Brady calling plays. But
see, that's – and to, like, furthermore your point, that I believe is why Miami put up – I truly believe that's why Miami put up 70 on the Broncos was because, all right, this is – you know, we're going. We're not going to slow down. We're going to really see – like, we're going to show the world we can do – like, watch what we can do against, you know, Patrick Surtain, who NFL GMs and fans around the world have pleaded that he is now the best corner in the league. You know, Denver has a decent defense. And they got the doors blown off them. But it was to show, look what we can do. You know, like if it needs to come down to this, we can do this. Buffalo has yet to – well, I think Buffalo knows they can. And that's why they like – and the world knows it can. That's why they haven't really pushed it like that. Because they don't – they feel like they don't have to show the world. They know – everybody knows Josh Allen can put up 40 if he absolutely needed to.
Yeah. But I like that. I know, like, we could get into a shootout with anybody, and we could, like, he's saying there's no way they could keep up with us, but the Bills can beat the Bills in a shootout.
Yep.
I just want to throw that out there.
You're right.
Well said.
You're
right. You're right.
That's what worries me.
But at the same time, Bills got in a shootout last game. Mm-hmm. Look what happened.
Yeah.
I would rather go out that way though than not.
Oh, for sure.
And and somebody else brought it up too. The dropped pass from
Cook,
James Cook, which I'll take the blame on that. I will take the blame on that. I did some research and wrote an article 2 weeks ago about how the Bills a year ago like were one of the top teams in drop passes, right? Well, this year, if you looked at the numbers, I don't know what they are as of right now, but when I looked at them a couple weeks ago, before the Eagles game, we had three players in the top 12 for highest catch rate in the league. Khalil Shakir was the highest rated wide receiver in catch rate. Dalton Kincaid was the number one tight end. And then James Cook, I want to say, was somewhere around like fourth or fifth among all the running backs. And then he drops that pass, and I was like, oh, that's my fault. I gave him kudos, and this is what happens.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
James Cook is... I'm so happy we drafted him. Like, I'm as happy now as the day as we drafted him. He's, I think, I want to say 7th or 8th in the league in rushing right now. And nobody thought that was ever possible, you know, and that's with being put in the doghouse for a game, still coming out with 100 yards. You know, for everybody just crapping on him, but being put, and he's been put in quite possibly one of the worst situations for a run RB1. You know, he's on the shortest leash I've ever seen for an RB1. And he's been one of the more productive backs that we've had since LeSean McCoy. He's played better than Devin Singletary has. In my opinion, he's a more complete back. Singletary might be a little bit better between the tackles, but Cook's shiftier, he's faster, he's better at catching. You know, he's proved, as I preached since the day he got drafted, he's able to run between the tackles, and he has shown that this year. You know, I want to say top 10 in yards per carry. James Cook deserves all the praise that he can get.
I do agree. I will say this in defense of the short lease comment. After that game, Joe Brady was asked about that in his press conference, and he did say he was not benched for that. It's just basically a game situation, and those moments they felt like X player was better suited for whatever play they were doing. Take that for what you want. Obviously, the coach isn't going to be like, oh yeah, we benched his ass because he sucked.
But it's such a blatant lie, it's not even funny. Like, come on. Like, we all know the truth. Like, anybody that's played football like saw that and was like, that sucks. We've all been there. You know, we've all missed a block and dropped a catch, this or that, this or that. But like, damn it. Like, it hurts to watch that.
Yeah. There's a lot of comments in here about Gabe Davis. Also, I'm going to throw this one up there because Roy does not agree with you on the shiftier thing. Singletary was pretty shifty. But let's talk shifty. About Davis for – go ahead.
Singletary was more of like the leverage back. He was more leveraged to where like he was – I mean, how many times did we see him run and basically bend over – and stick his butt up in the air, and the defender would bounce off of him. I mean, I can vividly remember that multiple times. James Cook is shiftier. Is by shifty, I mean laterally. You know, and I really loved Singletary, but like it's Singletary could make people miss in a phone booth. So could every NFL running back. Let's just put that one out there.
Zach Moss couldn't.
Now he can. What are you talking about?
He's only doing what he's doing because that offensive line.
Yeah, true.
But in fairness, most running backs can only do what they do behind a good offensive line. One exception, maybe Barry Sanders. Those offensive lines were some of the worst, and he still was phenomenal. Back to the Gabe Davis really quick. So I actually kind of called it during the Eagles game, and I said he's due for big game because, you know, the whole moniker, big game Gabe. So somebody brought it up earlier that this isn't going to be that game because he had it already. And I think that's actually an accurate statement. He's there for a game and then he disappears for 2, 3, 4 games. Let's jump ahead a little bit to the offseason really quick with Davis. Where do you guys think that he ends up after this season is done? Is he a Bill or is he gone? Not everybody answer at once.
Gone. I think he's gone. I think this year they use one of the top two picks. Well, I mean, that's the biggest question, because it's not what the Bills can afford right now. It's what other teams are going to drive the price up.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I've been thinking about it all year. He feels like he's going to end up like somewhere like the Patriots, to where he could step in. He'll step into some team that doesn't have a true number one yet, and he'll walk in as the best receiver. I mean, Gabe is still a good receiver, but like I think just sometimes the trains run its course, and I think like he's done everything he can for the Bills, and we've done everything we can for him, and maybe just to be a better player, he needs a change of scenery. You know, we've seen that with a lot of players, Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, you know, just two names we were just talking about now. Look how they're performing on their new teams. But I mean, someone like Carolina. Yeah. I mean, Adam Thielen is getting older. They have Mingo down there, who's young. I could see that. Mm-hmm. Yep. The Giants. But I mean, if he goes to the Giants, they'll have Isaiah Hodgins and Gabe Davis, who are basically the exact same player, you know, archetype anyway.
Well, speaking of Hodgins, what happened to him? I honestly expected way more this year, but he's disappeared too. Like all season.
I think he got
his first touchdown a week or two ago.
Yep. I don't know. I don't understand it. He was phenomenal last year. And I mean, like, speaking of Doghouse, like, what did he do to piss off Brian Daboll so bad that, I mean, he's like sixth on the depth chart now?
I don't know. They see something we don't.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, maybe they don't have a quarterback, so they're
and Coach McDermott saw it too. And our staff, they saw it too, because he could not get on the field here either. I don't know. It's interesting around the league, some of these people. Spin. Let's not bring up that name anymore. Quarterback that names who's not shall not be mentioned. We're just going to call him that from now on.
But real quick, how fitting, like now that I think of it, like how fitting is it that we went from quite possibly, in my opinion, he was, you know, the worst quarterback that we've had between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen. So how funny is it that like we had the absolute worst quarterback during that entire span on the team, like
consecutively
with Josh Allen, who was right quite after. Possibly, if not already, the best quarterback in Buffalo history. So I just it's just like the irony in it, like to where it's like the universe just had to give one more jab to Bills Mafia, and they're like, can't have it yet, and now you can have Josh. Like,
Jeff Toole, there's time. Another one. Oh.
I don't know.
This is one of my favorite things about the offseason is talking about some of these players from the past and what people thought of them. And I know we've kind of talked a little bit about it before in this past offseason, but we'll get down the road to that. Okay, so with Gabe Davis, I don't know how much you guys have kind of looked at the college landscape yet as far as receivers, but this class on paper and all the analysts and experts are saying is going to be phenomenal. Like one of the better classes that we've had in a couple of years, I guess, because last year was whatever. Even though some of those rookies are playing quite well this year, but do we let Davis walk, whether he wants to come back or not? Do we let him walk? Say, no, we don't want you back. I don't care what you want to sign for. And we use a first round pick on one of these receivers.
It would depend on the receiver. I mean, obviously Marvin Harrison, like, I mean, that's, that's a pipe dream. You know, that's when, if the floor really falls out of the season, we lose four out of the next five. And we end up, you know, pick 12. You trade something to go get one of the to trade up into the top five, you know, to get to number five, or you wait and like you wait till draft night and you see how the chips start to fall, how many quarterbacks start going 1, 2, 3. Bingo. And if you're sitting 10, 11, I mean, 12, 13, 14, you jump up and you get him, you know, you get Igbuka. You get Keon Coleman, you know, any of these guys, whoever you have right, obviously behind Marvin Harrison, you go get him if you believe in that, if Gabe is gone.
Keon Coleman is popping up quite a bit for a lot of the fans, and if you look into it, his draft projection is around the 20 mark.
Yep.
So somebody like that is possible. I want to touch on what you said a while ago is depending on how the things lay out Dog's barking again. How things play out with the quarterbacks in this draft. I know Spence said it here that Harrison Jr. is going to be a top five pick, and he may very well be, but I think that a lot of that depends on who's picking in that top five.
Because well, we know the Bears are going to have a lot of quarterbacks. Two top five picks. Bears are going to have two top five picks. They're going to trade one of them. Right now they're sitting, I want to say, like, pick one and pick three.
I think, but the Patriots, like, oh no, never mind. Carolina, they have the top currently.
Well, Carolina, Bears own Carolina's pick.
They're from what?
From the draft last year. Remember, the Bears had the number one pick last year. Carolina traded up for it, gave them this year's first round pick. And now they have, yep, and now they have picks like one and three. So, you know, there's going to be one draft pick gone that's going to be taken on a quarterback. Then whoever's number two, probably going to be taking quarterback, you know, the Giants, whoever. I mean, the Bears, I don't think they're going to pick a quarterback. I think they're who I would worry about taking a wide receiver to pair with DJ Moore. Then you would have DJ Moore, Marvin Harrison Jr., Darnell Mooney, and Cole Kmet. And then you have rookie and Roschon Johnson, who's played well when healthy. And you have still a rookie quarterback, you know, a quarterback on a rookie deal in Justin Fields, who you still don't know fully what he is yet. So that could be a legit offense. That's where I would expect him to go.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah. Neighbors is another big name that's been popping up a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Bills. There was one of these comments back here that I wanted to touch on again, but I don't know where it's at. But anyways, we'll definitely dive more into the draft and everything. I love draft time, but this upcoming game. Well, let me just ask you guys this: we got five games left. Are they all five must-win games in your opinion?
Yeah. Short and quick. Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to go and say yeah, because what we were talking about this before the Eagles game, my one loss the rest of the year was the Eagles game. So yeah, we got a ride. It's time to roll.
I mean, if they win out, obviously, as far as I'm concerned, that we'll get them in the playoffs, period. I'm just not convinced that they need to. I think if they lose one, it can be one against Dallas. If they lose one of these conference games, and it's, I think at that point it becomes too difficult. And let me just throw this out there. This just popped into my head. If Buffalo loses, let's say they lose the next couple of weeks, KC and Dallas, and we're sitting at 6-8, do you keep rolling Josh Allen out there?
No, Josh comes. Say, you know what? Josh comes down with a severe case of COVID that takes a month and a half to get rid of.
Yep. I mean, I think it's a legit question that McDermott's going to have to think about seriously. Like, if you got nothing going on the rest of this season, why roll out your 200 whatever million dollar quarterback and risk potential long term injury?
Casey's been on board with tanking all year.
Who has been the one that's been saying hashtag tank for Marvin?
Exactly.
I'm not saying to intentionally tank the season though. I'm more about protecting the you know, the franchise quarterback.
Right. Which is
thing. Tanking would be part of it, but the intent is to protect the quarterback, not to get a better draft pick, even though they're one and the same. I get it. But I want to hear from
people. I mean, what do you got to gain if you're out of the playoffs? What do you got to gain from keeping Josh in?
Josh getting his first MVP, which I still, which I don't know about that. I don't care what people say. I I think that the fact that he is fifth in the league in touchdowns.
Well, Tyreek gets 2,000 yards.
If Tyreek is 2,000 yards, give it to him. I mean that's that's funny. If like Tyreek gets it, away. Then Tyreek's not 200 yards away. There's five games left in the season.
Let's see how many yards is he back?
Like he's only got like 1,100, 1,200.
Oh, I thought he was higher than that.
But Josh could still win it. I mean, look at when Tim Tebow won the Heisman for the first time. He was the first freshman to win it. You know, first happened all the time. And Josh is quite clearly other than the turnovers, which yes, those have been a problem. Also,
only because of losing.
Half of those have been off tips or Hail Mary like attempts. Like it's he can do it. Like he could genuinely do this if he keeps setting the world on fire. If he has I want to say 33 touchdowns right now. If he ends up with 55 touchdowns. 50 touchdowns as a whole. That's Patrick Mahomes' numbers: 4,500 yards passing. 600 yards on the ground. 55 touchdowns. We'll call it 14 interceptions. That's hands down the best player in the NFL. You don't like that. Give the MVP to that.
Spin said, if Bills make the playoffs, how does Josh not win the MVP? I think if the Bills make the playoffs, I think he gets MVP.
Hands down. Yeah. I think it's locked.
Hands down.
But if he still lights the world on fire, he deserves it.
I'm not saying he wouldn't deserve it. I'm just saying it wouldn't happen. The league looks too much at the team's success overall.
Which is BS.
So much. I agree. Totally. And we can even look at the Heisman. It's the same situation. Like let me just throw a name out there. Most people probably don't know unless you live here or if you follow Boise State football, but Ashton Jeanty, he's our sophomore running back. And he's kind of like the 1A, 1B type of thing with George Helani, but he's phenomenal. And he leads the country right now in all purpose yardage. And he missed two games.
I've never heard of him. Heard of him. And I watch college football.
But he's one of the best college football players out there. And I know a lot of it's because of where he plays. I understand that part of it. But teams that aren't successful, they just simply don't get recognized for the players' individual successes. That's just how it's always been that way.
Well, I was pleading my case for Sean Tucker last year the same way you are. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he was one of, if not the best running back at the time, like the last 2 years in college football, but yet he went undrafted because he decided not to go to participate in the combine and immediately made the Bucs roster. You know, he's a healthy scratch every game, but they have Deuce Vaughn and Rashad White's a very good running back.
Yeah.
It's but because of playing in Syracuse and playing in Boise State, it's one of those things you're gonna get overlooked.
Yeah, can I just throw in really quick? All these comments are awesome. We appreciate you guys so much. It makes us a lot more fun when there's this much interaction and engagement. So thank you guys and gals. Yeah. We got about 10 minutes or so ish left. I kind of want to. We've been talking a little bit about college football here. So I want to jump back on that train because I'm curious to hear what you guys think about the NIL. Should these players be getting paid?
100%. Does the school make money off of their name and likeness?
Yeah.
They should get a portion of that money.
It's kind of hard to argue that.
100%. Here's why I bring it up.
Who goes to work without and doesn't want a paycheck? Sorry.
I know. I agree. So here's why I brought this up. I know there's nobody here probably that's a Boise State fan other than myself, but that's fine. So we've got our quarterback, Jalen Green, who quite honestly isn't a very good quarterback. If you've ever watched him, you would know that. He can run. He's the size of Vince Young, long legs, long stride, and he runs like Vince Young, but he just can't throw. His accuracy is ugh. But he enters the transfer portal. There's a website out there, and I wish I could tell you what the website is, but I was shown to me, and I don't remember. But it kind of breaks down collegiate players' NFL value as of, like, right now. So our quarterback, his value if he was in the NFL, was like $207,000. He's in the transfer portal right now. From the sounds of it, they're trying to get him to stay. But the other one is Ashton Jeanty, who I just mentioned. He announced he was going into the portal. Rumor was he was getting offered $900,000 in NIL money to go somewhere else. That somewhere else wasn't mentioned. So Boise State said, we want you to stay here. We're going to give you $300,000, a brand new house, and a brand new car. And he took it. He's staying here.
Good. He's smart.
It's so far out of the norm from what we've grown up with. Like, yeah. This is crazy to see this kind of stuff happening.
So very out of the norm from what you grew up with. I agree with that. And like in my, like growing up for me, it was, I started paying attention to sports when people were calling these people should be getting paid. Spin. That free education is nothing compared to what they give to that school. So I will cut that argument every single time. And I know you're just playing devil's advocate and I love you.
That was Roy.
Still.
This near spin. It still happened just under the radar. And it did.
Exactly.
That's why teams got the penalties.
In trouble. Yeah. But my generation were the ones that were like, why aren't we getting paid? Why aren't they getting paid? You know, so I've always been the fact, like I've just seen it. They're providing that school service. It's not an equal trade. What's the only way to make it equal is the money that you are benefiting off of these players. They can't even be put in a video game. Like, are you serious? Like that, that's ridiculous. You know, like that, what they do in their personal time, you know, getting sponsorships and this and that has nothing to do with the school and has nothing to do with the team. You know, it's because they love them.
What I always thought was silly was the whole autograph thing. Was it like they weren't allowed to sign autographs for money?
If you've never watched it, I highly encourage everyone to go watch the Johnny Manziel Untold on Netflix. Mike, if you haven't seen it, you have homework because that will explain basically this entire NIL thing to you about how and why he got in trouble and what he had to do to keep his autographs a secret just to make a buck.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey man, if it's putting crazy. Food we in the had, fridge and gas in your tank.
We had an incident here. It was probably like a decade or more ago, but there we had a player, circumstances, whatever they were, he was basically homeless and he was put up by one of the coaches, or I think it was one of the coaches. And he ended up getting suspended by the NCAA because he was giving free room and board.
Like, what a terrible person. Yeah, he should burn in hell for that. Like, are you serious? It comes down to common sense at some point. You know, it has to.
Exactly.
It's the whole bagel and cream cheese thing. A coach can buy a player a bagel. He cannot buy him cream cheese for that bagel. That is illegal. Hand to God, that was the rule before NIL kicked in. That's how insane this is. People actually got suspended for buying someone cream cheese. The NCAA needs to go away as a whole. That's its own governing body, and it is so far-fetched at this point and so out of touch. It basically needs an entire hard reset.
I could spend a year-long – college football, I love it. I could do the podcast for that for sure, and there's so much to talk about. Along the lines of what you were just saying, that would be a lot of fun to conversate about. But we're running out of time, so let's go ahead and jump back over to the NFL side. It's time for some score predictions.
All right.
There it is. Good job, Mike.
Wait,
who went?
Hey, you're going
I think
first,
I went first last time.
You haven't been here in 3 weeks. You're up next.
No.
You're up first.
No, yep. It's fine.
Nope. You haven't been here in 3 weeks. You definitely haven't done it recently if you haven't been here in 3 weeks.
I'm ready, but I like this.
I need people in the comments who should go first? Let's hear it. And the first one to pipe in, we'll take that one. Roy, you don't watch college football? You need to. It's great.
Not all at once.
Oh, Spin, you don't watch college football either? All right. Well, fine. Nobody's going to comment about who should go first. They're probably going to as soon as somebody says something, right?
I'll be up.
I had to throw that in there. Finally got the chance.
I've said before, I will never pick a team because they can beat anybody in the league. No question. So I will stick with that and say that Buffalo will win this game. And
spin.
What am I going to say? Score. Buffalo wins. Chiefs defense is pretty good. So I'll give Buffalo 27-19. Let's throw a weird number out there. 27-19.
Whoa.
I thought you were going to steal mine.
Mike, you were voted to go first, so now you have to go second.
So I had the Bills at 27. I'm saying the Bills are winning 27-25. And Josh Allen, I think I mentioned this on the Hump Day Hotline last night in the comments. Josh Allen, 332 and 3, 29 yards on the ground and another touchdown. So that's four touchdowns for the Bills, 27 points, because Bass misses one or something. Sorry.
He might. He's been all over the place this year, too.
I took the over, and that does it on the score. So.
All right, before Casey, before you go, I'm going to throw up some of these scores here. So Roy says 31-31 tie. Spence got 35-17. I'm assuming Bills. We're just going to assume Bills. Mm-hmm. Tony Miller says 36-17. Laura's got the Bills also 31-28. Dennis chiming in, 30-24 Bills. Like, everybody's picking the Bills. Oh, here's another one, Triggs, 34-31 Bills. So I like it.
Lots
100% so far. Mm-hmm. You're up, Casey.
I'm going to go 32-24 Buffalo.
All right.
32-24. Yep. There you have it.
Again, took the over. Always take the over, everybody, except for tonight. Take the under.
Except you. All right, we're going to get out of here. Again, thank you, everybody, for listening tonight and chiming in on the comments. We love the interaction. We'll see you all next week. Hopefully, we have a victory Monday coming up. We'll see you next week. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Tell your friends.